Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of the Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play the Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
I'm in this world. Welcome back to 32 Fans. I'm Alex Jesser. With me, as always, is Wheels Wienerker. Wheels, just the two of us this week, but it is your favorite time of the year.
Is it not your favorite time of the year? You don't love March Madness more than your family, like I do?
I enjoy March Madness. It's not my favorite time of the year.
It's a bad take. Like, the first day, Thursday, you sit in. It's really, the first four games will tell you how the tournament's going to go. Because a couple times recently they've sort of been duds and you're like, all right, it's not going to be so exciting. But if one of those first games like goes to overtime or you get a buzzer beater, you know you're in for like a special March.
Well, my beloved Minnesota Gophers are kicking off this tournament this year, so, which is very inconvenient, by the way. It's a Jewish holiday on Thursday, right?
Yeah.
And that's it. So the game's at 12:15, which is very annoying because, you know, I got to be dealing with my kids and stuff.
On Thursday because it's a Jewish holiday, you mean?
Yeah.
It's tricky because it is a Jewish holiday. It's not like a can't watch TV Jewish holiday, but it is an extremely... It's like the busiest day of the year. Like, you're going for... You know, your kids want to bring... It's like, think, you know, people don't know what it is. It's like, picture like Halloween.
It's Jewish Halloween.
Plus yeah. St. Patrick's Day.
Like, and just like Halloween, by the way, Rona. It's a totally opposite... Well, it's a totally opposite holiday when you have kids and when you don't have kids.
Right. Well, when you don't have kids, it's just you meet up with your friends and you drink and you have like a whole day lunch, basically, to describe it. Whereas if you have kids, like, especially if you have older kids, your kid's going to want to go to every single kid in their class and bring them candy.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, that takes all morning. There's so much going on.
Is your wife into the themed Mishloach Manot, as we call the... So the only difference between this and Halloween is instead of going house to house and taking candy, you go house to house and give it.
You bring
basically.
It, right. You don't stay home. You bring it to people. Yes, each kid has a... we're not super fancy, but each kid has a... Like, if my son's a dog, like, he's giving out, like, part of his thing will be, like, dog bone cookies or something.
Oh,
like
I
that.
See.
There will be a... Each one gets their own mini theme. In their own,
okay.
And like the, you know, the 5-year-old will have more like babyish food, whereas the 13-year-old probably has like more grown-up candy.
Oh, so these kids are all make. Oh, that's even more complicated. You know, I've had this idea for like a Seinfeld themed Mishloach Manot that I've wanted to do for years, mm-hmm. which I've never done, of course. But I mean, because there's like so many like foods inside. I mean, like I'm looking at my list here. So basically, every year I have it on my Google Calendar for Perm, and every year I move it to the next year. But here's my list. It's a Snickers with a fork and knife.
Yeah.
Drake's coffee cake.
Yeah.
A pencil with bite marks.
Yeah, I love it.
Pez.
Mm-hmm.
Yoo-hoo.
There's no babka.
Soup.
Okay, like instant soup.
Yeah, black and white cookie.
Mm-hmm.
Pretzels.
Okay.
Marble rye.
Is there a joking like note that goes along with it?
Yeah, there's a donation. There's a card that says a donation has been made in your name to the Human Fund. That's next on my list. Yeah. Junior Mints, Entenmann's Cake, a gift card for a cafe latte.
A lot of things. You're giving out a lot of things.
Yeah. Well, the point is there's so many options here. Now, again, I've never done this, to be clear.
Oh, you're not doing it this time. I thought you were doing
no,
it.
No, every year I move it to the next year. No, every year I move it to the next year, and I say, you know what, I'll do that next year, but I never actually do.
Your kids won't appreciate it, and you're probably, like, you're probably mostly giving to, like, you know, kids and your kids' friends or people like that.
No, we're giving to, like, our friends. Like, our kids aren't old enough to have, like, real friends yet.
Yeah,
so.
Or popular enough, at least.
Yeah. Yeah. No, my wife did do a theme, but it's a very lame theme.
What's the theme?
The theme is good morning. It's good morning from the Chesters. Mm-hmm. So it's like a little mini box of cereal and a little coffee drink and, you know, like some candies in the shape of eggs, which are easy to acquire since it's, you know, Easter season and things of that nature. Orange juice.
So she's giving Easter candies for Purim. Okay.
Yeah, exactly. All right. People did not listen in today to listen to Purim talk. They're here for March Madness.
They are. So we're going to do the bracket and talk about some other gambling things. Your brother just posted an article, ESPN craving content before the games start on Thursday, posted a ranking of all 68 March Madness head coaches by their basketball prowess. And it's a decent idea, yeah. Except when you get to it, there are very few.
ESPN, get off my corner, by the way.
Yeah, there are very few coaches in the tournament who actually have any sort of skill. So only four guys played in the NBA. So the real main name was Chris Mullin, then Johnny Dawkins. The NIT has Penny.
Chris Mullin's the coach at St. John's,
yeah.
Right?
The NIT has
Patrick. Yeah, they weaseled their way into that tournament. They yeah. You know, weren't
last
they one of the borderline teams?
The NIT yeah. has Patrick Ewing and Penny Hardaway. So their team would destroy the NCAA tournament, even without looking yeah. at the other 32 teams.
Yeah.
Arizona State. I believe also in the NIT, right? They have Bobby Hurley.
No, Arizona State's in the tournament.
Right. Arizona State was a bubble team in the tournament. But they have Bobby Hurley. No, Bobby Hurley. Oh, right, you know why? Because they're in the they're playing St. John's in the whatchamacallit game in the play-in game. That's why they weren't in the bracket.
Yeah.
I was looking at.
The first four. Excuse me.
But the truth
four.
Is, Bobby Hurley didn't have a great. NBA career because he got
yeah, he had a nothing NBA career. And he was not like he was a great college player. He was just on great
teams.
Yeah,
he was a great
was a point guard.
That's harsh.
So,
he was a great college player.
I mean, if I had to guess, and I know absolutely nothing, I would guess his college career numbers was like 10 points and like 5 assists a game.
The other like really good college players who were not in the tournament, Larry Krystkowiak, Avery Johnson, of course, a very good player. Dan Marley for Grand Canyon, who almost made the tournament. That, by the way, Grand Canyon made the conference finals, was one of those never made the NCAA tournament before teams. The only teams that made it were Gardner Webb and something, what's it called? Arkansas Baptist, not Arkansas Baptist. What's the name of that school?
I don't know. By the way, Bobby Hurley better than I thought. His senior average 17-8.
He was great.
Which is
Bobby
really
Hurley
good
was
for college.
A really good
yeah.
Again, Chester.
And first career average 12-8.
And Chris
so.
Is what I meant to say. They beat Central Arkansas. Chester didn't start following sports till 4 years ago, so he is forgiven for that mistake. Dan Marley for Grand Canyon, who did not make it. Danny Manning, who was on the verge of getting fired probably because Wake Forest stinks.
He's another guy who was better in college than the NBA.
Daniel Marshall.
Yeah.
Very, you know, pretty
Daniel
underrated.
Marshall's been mentioned on what? 3 podcasts in a
yeah,
row
Daniel
now? That's
Marshall.
A surprise,
and
I would say.
What's funny is I worked with, I always mix it up, because one of them was our basketball guy at the Olympics, but I'm pretty sure now it was Donnie. It was Donnie, not Danielle. But after like spending my whole life mixing them up, I don't even remember which one I worked with anymore.
Yeah, but it was annoying. Much like Cliff and Clifford Robinson, their careers in the NBA overlapped. So
yeah. And they were on the same team, and they weren't related. Jim Less, who was a pretty good 3-point shooter, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, can we stop talking about coaches of teams that aren't even in the tournament?
No,
get to the tournament,
we're going
please.
Through the rest of the team. Damon Stoudemire, Pacific Tigers coach. That's a, you know, this team demolishes the tournament team. Vacant. There's a lot of schools that have vacant coaches. I don't know how that good they were. And that's about it.
All right, so let's jump right into this tournament. Keith, will you be joining me in Minneapolis for the Final Four this year?
Doesn't Duke usually win the NCAA tournament when it's in Minneapolis? I think that's their thing, right? Are you going to the Final Four?
If the Gophers make it.
A whole
so no.
Final Four the, for the Gophers. I mean, they're Gophers.
Yeah, hey, the Vikings did not get a chance to do
than the Final Four, and that's already been decided.
Yeah.
I've filled out like 10 brackets so far, and I have not picked Minnesota to beat Louisville in that 7-10 matchup yet.
Well, I mean, that's just statistically wrong. They have better than a 10% chance of winning that game.
Yeah, but why would I?
Because if it's about a 65-35 and you're taking 10 brackets, you should pick them
instead of picking the favorite 10 times.
Why are you doing 10 brackets if they're all exactly the same? That doesn't make any sense.
I don't do all the same. With the 8-9 matchups, I'm very torn between Mississippi and Oklahoma, or, you know, torn between, say, Syracuse and Baylor, but I'm not torn between.
So are we doing a bracket for the purpose of this podcast today? What are we doing? Should we do what we want to see happen?
No. I mean, then we'd want, like, Gardner Webb to play, like, Liberty in the
final. Well, we want Minnesota to go back to Minneapolis.
Yeah, well, I don't want that. No, let's do what we think will happen, and then if. We could maybe throw in a couple upsets.
Are we going to submit this cumulative bracket somewhere?
No.
Or it's just for the listeners to listen. And to be clear, I know absolutely nothing. I don't watch any non-Big Ten basketball unless it features like Zion Williamson or some super-duper star during the season.
So you're coming in basically. I don't watch a ton, other than UConn, a ton of like December-January ball, but I've really been on it. I was watching like all the ESPN Plus stuff and watching like not even just the championship games, like every conference tournament and really everything.
Yeah, you're way beyond me. I watch the Big Ten, and I watch, you know, if high pro like Duke, North Carolina, things like that. But my college basketball knowledge before March is very limited.
All right, so Duke wins the play-in game. Let's start in the East, the top left.
And by the way, my favorite thing of March Madness is the fact that despite the fact that 99.9% of us have never seen any of these teams play, we immediately develop like such hard takes, like such aggressive, confident takes. Mm-hmm. On so many of these meaningless teams, based on
three or four players on a team to really have a take.
I mean, there's literally one team in this tournament.
Can we talk
about
strategy before we fill out the bracket?
Yeah.
So let's say to use a round number, you're in a pool with 100 people. Okay. Some years there'll be three. There'll be a favorite, but like they'll kind of get picked 22 to 25% of the time, and there'll be a couple other teams in the high teens. And really, it's like, who do you think is going to win? And then there are years like the Anthony Davis Kentucky year this year, where there's just an overwhelming favorite. And I haven't checked the ESPN brackets in a while, but I've seen numbers where Duke is getting close but not 50% of all championship wins for brackets. That, you know, 45 to 50% of people are picking Duke to win the tournament. So if you, suppose you are in, you know, an average bracket that has 100 people and 46 people pick Duke. So now if you pick Duke to win, you have picked the champion, which is very hard. Most of the time you do not do that, right? And you still have a 1 in 46 chance of winning the pool. So what's your point? Who says, all right, who's like, you know, which 2 seed maybe, or who's the worst 1 seed, and they sort of have great odds because only 7 people are going to pick them, or only 4 people are going to pick, you know, Michigan or Michigan State as a 2 seed. So what do you do? Like, does that affect how you fill out a bracket? Because it does affect how I fill out a bracket.
Well, I mean, obviously, the size of your bracket impacts the picks you're making, right? If you're in a bracket with 1,000 people,
but what do you do? Like, no, just and 100 doesn't matter. You know, you could be in a bracket with at work with 20 people or 50 people or 500 people. To me, I'm always. I mean, if you're in a small enough bracket, of course, you just pick what you think is going to happen. But there's very little value in coming in fourth in a pool like this, right? They usually don't pay. You're trying to win. So now how do you win if you want to be – if you think, hey, I think, you know, Michigan is undervalued or Gonzaga is undervalued, I want to be one of 8 people who pick Gonzaga, and I'll take my 12.5% chance.
Honestly, I don't think you should be using strategy when it comes – now, if there's other kinds of pools and you and I are running and are involved with many of them, but just a straight bracket, don't even worry about strategy, because the assumption you're making when you're picking your bracket is you're not going to win this anyway.
Yeah.
So just pick what you want to pick and don't worry about it. You know, unless you have 6 people in your bracket. But if you have more than 20 people in your bracket, your odds of winning your pool are what, 5% or dramatically lower than that. So I wouldn't even worry about strategy. Just pick who you want to pick and then watch the tournament, enjoy yourself, and root for upsets. What I don't like is people who root against upsets because they're rooting for their bracket like the first day.
Yeah.
Like, anybody who picked Virginia to go far last year and was upset when they lost last year is a terrible person.
And also,
because you're not going to win your pool anyways.
Like, if you had Virginia winning the championship, I sort of get being mad because then your bracket is over. But if you're like, oh, well, I had them in the Final Four. Well, guess what? So did everybody.
Well, so did everybody.
They
were
a 1 seed. You know? A lot of times it ends up working out well. You're like, well, I had them in the Elite Eight. Great. They were a 1 seed. Nobody had them, you know, maybe 3 people in your pool would have had them getting knocked out nobody in the first round and almost nobody in the second round either. So. All right, Duke. So that being said, do you think this is like in your 0% experience? Like, do you think this Duke team is historically good?
Well, I mean, they have the best NBA prospect since LeBron, and then they have another guy who's going to be a top three pick in the draft, mm-hmm. right? So if Duke teams with like John Shire as their best player who are winning national championships, then you know it seems
like,
to me
Duke doesn't have a 45% chance to win the tournament, right? Like nobody has that much of a chance. They've lost
yeah.
games this
well,
year, even with Zion. So yeah. so now you know now say now knowing that 45% or 50% of people are picking them, they're way overvalued. Whereas maybe I don't know Kansas or Villanova.
Well, if the question is would you rather have Duke or the field, I'd obviously rather.
Yeah,
have
of
the
course
field.
You'd rather have the field. Well, should
yeah.
we play that
even
game
though
when, in the NFL? Like, how many teams
pick
would
five
you
teams?
Rather have?
Yeah. I'll give you five.
You'd give me five teams.
Actually, no, I'd rather take five.
So you want five.
I'll give you four.
No, I don't want four.
I
want
won't
five.
Take four. I'll give you four. All right. So we're stuck at the same
yeah,
point
we're
then,
stuck.
Basically.
I mean, I think yeah. you take... I don't know if I take Gonzaga. I think I take the... Like right, I think I take North Carolina and Kentucky because I'm fairly certain you know one of those teams comes out of the bottom right. Obviously, you take Duke, and then do you take then you have a sort of a choice between Virginia or Tennessee in the top right.
Yeah,
and then you probably take Gonzaga or Michigan in the bottom left. I don't think you need Michigan State because they're probably going
to
lose Duke.
You have
really
to assume
like
Duke is coming out of that
yeah,
out of that bracket.
Right.
Yeah.
So I mean, if you want
now
you
Gonzaga beat
one
Duke.
Of the four regions with a one and a two seed with the five teams.
Yeah, that's basically what you have to do.
But I would. Right, I would.
I would
Duke.
Take
I'd probably hedge, but I wouldn't even hedge Virginia Tennessee because that bracket has a lot of good teams like Villanova that in theory could make the Final Four. I think I had you hedge.
Yeah, I've picked Villanova to lose to St. Mary's its first game.
Yeah,
in
that's
a lot
the
of
weird
brackets,
thing about
so
Villanova. Like Villanova could win the championship, and they're also 4-point favorites in the first round.
Yeah.
You know.
By the way, did you see 538's odds to win the tournament for Duke is only 19%?
Yeah, that's really so low. Now I don't know how much their numbers can factor in Zion missing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm guessing it's low. I mean, it should be closer to 30% than 20%. There's no way they're winning.
Yeah, I would put them at about 1-3, I would say. But again, my I'm an ignoramus. So.
Okay, fine. So let's start top left. Duke going to be a 30-something point favorite. We don't need to talk about that. I think North Dakota State probably wins that play-in game if someone wants to gamble on that. VCU-UCF. I really like when a big when a mid-major plays a Power 5 school. That's what every matchup should be to me. And I hate when
the mid-majors play each other.
I hate matchups where it's like Wisconsin-Oregon that doesn't do anything for me in the first round, right? Who cares who wins?
Yeah, two middling teams from the Big Ten and Pac-12,
right.
Who cares?
But
yeah.
I also don't
and
enjoy
it, and
it,
the worst
two,
of all, yeah, of course.
Two mid-majors play. And now...
Yeah, everybody hates that.
Now, the American is not really mid-major. I don't want to talk about UConn and you know, the American has won a national championship recently. But VCU-UCF, if that was, like, ESPN would not televise that on ESPN2 as, like, their game of the night. You know what I mean? That is about as...
Yeah, but that's the beauty of the whole tournament. None of us would watch any of these games until, like, the Final
Four.
See,
I disagree. I sort of disagree. I'm saying, like, this is... I think last year we ranked the games from 1 to 32. To me, this would be... I actually think the 8-9 games are overrated. Like, I mean, listen, I'll watch any game. It's not like... There's no game in the tournament that I wouldn't watch the, you know...
Well, the 8-9 games are overrated because you're just watching a team that, you know, 90% of the time is getting killed 2 days later.
Yeah, right. It's they're cannon fodder. You know, three out of the four of them are always cannon fodder. Basically, frequently it's four.
Yeah.
I mean, last year there was no. Last year there.
I mean, that's why, and I've said this. I know I've said this on this podcast before, but like, if you're not a top six seed, I'd rather be the 11.
You need to
than,
be 10 or 11, absolutely.
Than 7, 8, 9, or 10.
The one and the two until the Elite Eight. The 11
exactly.
is an incredible seed.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's a great seed. And 11s versus 6s are like, it's like a 60-40 proposition.
That being said, like, yeah, I mean, 6 hasn't won a tournament in forever. I think that Michigan team was the last team to win the tournament.
Yeah, but you're, again, on the first weekend, your goal isn't to win the tournament.
No, I understand,
your goal is to survive.
I'm just saying you'd think that a 3 or 6 would have had more success. 3s really have not.
Just because they're,
Even in terms of making the Final Four, have not done as well as maybe you think. All right. So that's really an irrelevant point to us. UCF is a slight favorite, but I think that, I don't know. UCF has the 7'6" guy, Taco Fall. I have VCU winning that game.
All right. I'll agree with you, VCU. So let's keep our bracket going.
Liberty is probably underqualified to be a 12 seed. I just don't think they're a nine-point dog, which, by the way, is
the most religious school in the tournament, right? Just because Yeshiva missed that this year, unfortunately.
Most religious school in any tournament. Yeah. No,
although I don't know anything about Abilene Christian. They have the word Christian in their name.
That is true. They're in Texas. Liberty is like you get expelled if you have a girl in the dorms or if you like think about masturbating and stuff like that.
Yeah. Oh, can I tell you? So I was I went to a conference in Washington D.C. when I was in high school. Mm-hmm. And I come from the airport and I get on the shuttle to go from the airport to the hotel, and I met a girl, a college girl, who was going to, I forget if it was Liberty or Oral Roberts or one of those kinds
of
schools.
Oral Roberts also almost made the tournament.
Yeah. So and I didn't know anything about those schools at the time. It's some school college I heard. So I started talking to this girl, and it was like an Israel related conference. And so when she told me the school she went to, I said, "Oh, are there a lot of Jews at that school?" Because I just assumed everyone at this conference was going to be Jewish.
You realize it was like evangelicals who like care more about Israel than you do. Okay.
Yeah. Well, it was you know, it's a mix. It was all different kinds of people. And so she looks at me and she says, "Well, we might have a couple atheists." And I was so confused. I was like, I asked about Jews.
Right.
I don't even know. If it was probably Oral Roberts, not Liberty, now that I think about it. But
yeah, Liberty, big fan of Trump. If he fills out a bracket,
that's Jerry. Isn't that the Jerry Falwell Junior School?
Yeah.
That's Liberty, right?
If he filled the bracket, he'd have them going all the way, but he won't.
Yeah, he's all in. Like most successful fathers, the son fell very far from the tree, unfortunately.
Mississippi State is going to blow the doors off Liberty. That's my prediction.
Yeah. I don't really care, but I'll agree with
Virginia
you.
Tech is a
Liberty getting picked more than they should. People fall for the 5-12 fallacy, even though like in the last like 4 years, I don't think a 12 was one.
It was either last year or 2 years ago, they went 0-4. I think if you're looking for a 5-12, you're talking about, you know, Wisconsin, Oregon. That's silly, right? That's like two power schools.
I think it's like a 1.5-point spread or something like that.
That's like five, but it, you know, that's silly. The real 5-12 game is Marquette, Murray State, because Murray State is one of the best players in the tournament, John Morant. Like that's
We'll get there. There's great players on both sides in that game.
Now this the 4-13 here. Is 13 is a weird team. It's when those, you know, the power school, or in this case, the second tier power school, which is like the American, the A-10, that team doesn't win a random team wins that conference. Like, let's say DePaul had won the Big East or something. You can't put them as a 16. So they're 13. They've played a lot of good teams. They were talking about the St. Louis Billikens.
Yeah, and they lost all of them.
Yeah, they lost, but they're also hot.
Yeah.
Virginia Tech is
it's crazy how like the A-10 and Conference USA, when we were kids, those were real conferences. And now they're like jokes.
Yeah, you wouldn't believe who's in Conference USA. Like there are no major schools. Like it used to be Memphis, I think, was Cincy in there for a time. Yeah, like the biggest school in Conference USA now is like the Western Kentucky Hilltoppers. I'm not even joking. Like Texas San Antonio's in there, like really schools that with no pedigree who are like the Conference USA at this point is just like we literally just teams countries. Schools in the USA that can't fight the conference go there.
Basically. So, well, but that, I mean, the tournament was, the conference was created for that purpose originally.
Yeah, yeah.
When the major conference expanded.
But St. Louis played Virginia Tech last year and beat them.
Did not know that.
So that's not that, not this year, not, but like, it's not so crazy. Virginia Tech beat Duke, right?
Yeah.
They're a very up and down team. It would blow my mind if Virginia Tech ever, I feel like they're almost always a better conference play team than a tournament team. Not a lot of Virginia Tech runs.
Now, my connection to St. Louis is my 8th grade basketball coach, Kenny Zuger, had played at St. Louis.
Yeah.
And he was 6'11", the tallest Jew I've ever met, and could do the most columned Hagba I had ever seen, which is when they lift the...
Timberwolves had a Jewish guy when they first started who was like a white stiff center. It was like 7'1 or 7'2.
Yeah, but I never saw him do Hagba. So.
You don't remember who I'm talking about?
No. Hagba, by the way, Joe Klein or something like that? I don't know. Hagba is when they lift up the...
You don't even know...
When they lift up the unrolled Torah in synagogue for everyone to see when they finished reading the Torah, before they wrap it up. And usually you open it maybe 3 or 4 columns wide, but if you're 6'11" with that kind of wingspan, you can go like 7 or 8 columns
Tech, best NBA player from Virginia Tech.
You're asking somebody who literally just made this chart, and yet I don't remember. No.
Steph Stad. Del Curry went there. Bimbo Coles. We haven't talked about Bimbo Coles in a while. Bimbo Coles.
Yeah, we haven't.
So Virginia Tech has never made a Final Four. That's, you know, for an ACC team, that's not great. They have made one Elite Eight. You'd say, wow. They've also made one Sweet 16 and one Round of 32. They have not gotten out of the Round of 64 since 1967. That's insane.
Yeah, that's shocking.
They have
actually.
Been in the tournament, I think, like 12 times since then. 10 times
yeah.
or something.
By
like
the way,
that.
I'm looking at that Virginia Tech team. Yeah, they're led by three guards. Dill Curry, Bimbo Coles, and Glenn Combs. Mm-hmm. So, guard heavy. Their starting center, Wayne Robinson, only played 81 games in the NBA. So, not a great team.
Yeah, this is. Tech. I think it's slightly wrong. They have not been, sorry, they have not been in the Sweet 16. They've won two or three games. They have not been in the Sweet 16 since 19.
All right, okay. So, we're picking Virginia Tech, right? And then who are we picking between Virginia Tech and Mississippi State?
So, it's a little tricky. I think, by the way, Duke will be rooting for Mississippi State. They don't want to see Virginia Tech in the Sweet 16.
Yeah, obviously.
But I'm going to pick Virginia Tech there. I'm going to have an all-ACC.
Yeah, I've picked Virginia Tech also. All right, so we have all chalk so far, mm-hmm. and we have the 1-8-5-4, and we have the 1-4 heading into the Sweet 16.
You know, it's all hard.
Right. Maryland.
It's well, you want to do that, or we'll get back to the Sweet 16?
No, we'll come back. Let's set our Sweet 16 first.
Okay. So with Maryland playing Belmont or Temple, it's tricky because that's kind of a toss-up game. I haven't spent a lot
of time. Yeah, who are you picking tonight?
Is that today? What did you say? Is that tonight?
So I've always been partial to Temple because John Chaney, first of all, was a great, an all-time great character in college basketball.
You saw Phil Martelli, the other guy from that.
Yeah, got fired, the guy from St. Joe's. Yes. Yeah. But Fran Dunphy, the longtime Penn coach mm-hmm. back when I was in college mm-hmm. and we were going to the tournament every year, when Chaney retired, Temple stole him, Philly on Philly violence. Yes. And now he's been the coach of Temple. He hasn't reached the heights, you know, that Chaney did. Obviously, again, the A-10 is a joke of what it was back in Chaney's time.
Chaney was the press conference legend.
Yes, challenging, various other coaches to fistfights and whatnot. So that's why I like Temple. But I'm actually picking Belmont here. And Maryland, and again, to the extent I know anything about college basketball, and I don't, it's Big Ten. I was not impressed with Maryland for most of the Big Ten regular season. I would say I want to pick Belmont to go all the way to the win their playing game and then beat Maryland.
Well, Belmont's a weird team because if you're really going by the metrics, they probably shouldn't have been in the tournament. There's a lot of there are a lot of bubble teams for major conferences, like a lot of the state schools, like North Carolina State, that even like the Indianas and Texases, whose resume was probably better. I do think that
isn't it kind of crazy. By the way, the state of California, like 10% of our country, they only have one team in this entire tournament.
That is weird. First of all, there's a whole conference I think that's only California, so I think they have to have one, right? UC Irvine plays in a conference that does not have a school outside of California, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, so they got literally the minimum possible.
Literally the worst. But part of that is because the four Pac-10, the entire Pac-10 was hot garbage this year. So their four main schools of Pac-12. USC, UCLA, Stanford, and Cal are not really relevant.
Yeah. Yeah.
So with Belmont, so like they sort of got, I think the committee put them in just to, to avoid the backlash, like to be woke, basically.
Oh, they're not being enough mid-majors. Yeah.
But they deserve, I think we all would rather see.
But Temple also counts as a mid-major these days, doesn't it? Because they're in the A-10, which we said is garbage.
Who is
now.
Temple? No, Temple's in the American.
Oh, whatever. The American's also garbage.
It has the four-time national champion UConn Huskies.
It doesn't have the depth.
I think Temple wins this game, but I think Maryland beats either of them, so it doesn't matter.
Okay, so I want Belmont to beat Maryland. You have Maryland beating Temple. So what's going on for the 32 fans bracket? Whatever, I'll give you Maryland. We're all chalk so far. All right, LSU Yale. Every nerdy white sports writer and politics writer, of course, picks the Ivy League team every year automatically. But I think LSU is actually really good, and I think that they're going to blow the doors off.
So
of
LSU
Maryland
doesn't have
Belmont,
a coach
wherever
right
they play.
Now. It's a big deal.
So what?
I think that's a really big deal.
Stop interrupting me with facts.
I think that matters. You know, Yale. By the way, it is a great.
I thought LSU's coach is suspended for the rest of the season.
I mean,
how
I think
does that
it's
work?
Indefinitely, but he's not coaching. He's not coaching on Thursday.
He's not for sure. Not.
No. By the way, this would because this first game is your Louisville Minnesota game. That's the first game of the whole tournament. This is the second game of the tournament. They set it up really well. For
the NCAA to really avoid conversations about the scandals involved with the NCAA.
Yeah.
Great job.
But the first group of four games, they did brilliantly because Louisville-Minnesota is probably going to be a close game. Then you have LSU-Yale. Right, it is funny. They front-loaded the scandals. LSU-Yale, who if that's a blowout, fine. They stay on Louisville-Minnesota the whole time, then they go to one of the other games in the second half. Like in terms of national, I know they're on different channels, but in terms of like national attention.
Yeah.
But yeah. If Yale is close, like inside that 4 minute, the last 4 minute timeout, like the whole country is going to be going bananas. And then it's like, then you get your March Madness moment. Then they have a 5-12, but it's like a reasonable win for Auburn, New Mexico State, and Florida State, Vermont, probably going to be a blowout. But like, you know, it's not a 2-15. Like they have.
I've seen Vermont as sort of a trendy upset pick.
Florida State's real good.
Yeah.
Vermont would have wanted to be an 11 or 12 to really.
Okay, so you have LSU beating Yale, and then who do you have winning between LSU and Maryland?
By the way, I think Yale's best player is, you know, would play an LSU for sure. He's going to be in the NBA. I have LSU. It's really close. I think I'm going to have Maryland beat LSU, honestly.
Okay, fine. So at least we have some non-chalk. Mm-hmm. All right. And then Louisville, Minnesota. You already said that Minnesota's no chance. They lost 2 years ago as a 5 seed, I think, the first time that Richard Pitino took this team to the big dance. Minnesota has, like, Jordan Murphy, who's their best player, is, like, the classic, like, college guy who has no chance playing in the NBA. Yeah. He's probably, like, 6'6", but he plays like a big guy. Like, he's a, you know, he averages, like, 15 and 12 or something like that. Mm-hmm. He's like a seventh-year senior. He's been around forever. He's like beloved by the fans.
You'll see him in Greece next year.
Yeah, he'll be playing somewhere in Europe, something like that. Yeah, Minnesota always is a letdown in the tournament, except for the 1 year when they weren't, and then, you know, retroactively got canceled. So I would love to see them win, obviously, but I'm picking Louisville.
I have Louisville too.
The only reason Minnesota's even in this tournament, by the way, the classic. This is what Minnesota does every year. They do very well in their non-conference schedule. They're like 8-1 or 12-2 or whatever. They come in with they're getting a few votes, and you know they're on the cusp of the top 25. And then they lay an egg in the Big Ten, and then they do just enough to give themselves a chance, and then they lay another egg in the Big Ten tournament, and they miss the tournament. This year they beat Purdue like 2 weeks ago, and then they beat Purdue again in the Big Ten tournament. So they beat a team that was a top 10 team in the country twice in the last like 2 weeks, and that's why they're in this tournament. But unfortunately, we're not playing Purdue. So
you also look at like where
and Purdue, by the way, hasn't lost. Has Purdue lost to a team other than Minnesota in like 6 weeks?
I don't think so. We'll get to Purdue, but your schedule is brutal, Minnesota. But you also have 13 losses, and it's not like you are losing close games. They just got demolished by Michigan.
Well, no, they lost a couple games by 1 point. Yeah, okay, they got demolished.
But it's a bad sign when a team's getting destroyed. They got destroyed.
Well, but the
by
game
Illinois
before that, they beat
the
a top 10 team. They won.
Michigan
hold on.
On the road.
They won. Also, to be fair, and you know, this is tough when you're a lower seed in a conference tournament. Minnesota was playing their third day in a row.
Yeah, they got destroyed by Ohio State on the road. Like they really have a lot of bad. Even Boston College beat them up. They have a lot of bad losses, and just like
yeah, but they, I mean, again, they have good wins, and they have a couple that they probably should have had. They had a couple 1 point losses. They lost one game on a very questionable. I forget who it was against them. Was that
now that like it's really
at Nebraska? I think
you know we really only like 5 power conferences. It does seem like every year there's one that's like oh they just win like 7 of the teams make the Sweet 16 or look like they're going to, and then one it's like everyone's out. It's day two and they're down to like one team. Sometimes that's the SEC, but I don't know like. You know, is the ACC just going to be dominant? Are they going to rip through the tournament? Is the Big Ten going to disappoint? Like, I'm not sure. Okay. And then obviously we have Michigan.
All right.
State
so we're picking
winning.
Louisville. All right. And then Michigan State over Louisville?
Michigan State over Louisville. Yeah. Never going
to
be. Okay.
All right. So we've got a 1, 2, 4, and 6. All right. So let's go down to the West now. Mm-hmm. Or go out West, I should say. Okay. So Gonzaga is going to be the 16, obviously. Yeah. Syracuse Baylor. Everybody's picking Syracuse. They're a client, so I will do so as well, unless you tell me that you have strong feelings
for
Baylor.
No, I mean, they're only 1 point favorites, so everyone shouldn't be picking them. This is a coin toss. I wouldn't bet. If I was betting on certain games, I wouldn't bet on this game at all, but I will pick Syracuse.
Yeah, usually for the 8-9 games, I always take the points.
And Gonzaga's not
going to
blitz
like, you know,
either of these teams also. In my opinion, I know this is insane because Gonzaga is a 1 seed. This is one of the worst Gonzaga teams in a long time.
But, I mean, they beat Duke at full strength, and they went 30-3.
Yeah, for whatever reason, they match up well against Duke. And also, Duke, and I will, you know, they're in the Sweet 16 in our bracket. We'll get to them. Duke is the worst three-point shooting team in the tournament. So, like, Duke is prone to have a bad night. And also, it was the beginning of the year when Zion was, like, you know, 16 years old and hadn't played.
Yeah.
But I don't love Norvell and Perkins. They're not NBA-caliber guards. And I do think they're going to be exposed against the better teams. Now, that's not going to be in round one or probably round two. But when they get to teams that actually have NBA guards, I don't think you can run through the big Euro guys like Hachimura. Like, I don't think.
Yeah. All right. Well, speaking of NBA guards, mm-hmm. let's talk about the next game, which is Marquette Murray State.
Yeah. It's going to be one of the most.
The
fun
two
games
these are the two highest scorers in the entire tournament.
Yes.
In the entire country.
The only
maybe?
Two.
No.
The only two guys in the top 10 in the country in scoring in this are both in this game, Howard and Morant.
Yeah.
Should be a lot of fun. I just
if you had to pick one to make like a Wally Zerbiak, Stephen Curry type run, which in the tournament, which
I mean,
one's
Ron
it
is
be?
I like him more, but Marquette's going to win the game, so I don't know how he would be able to pull that off.
Yeah, you can't be a five. You need to pull off an upset in round one to sort of get the whole country paying attention. By the way, how did the number two pick in the NBA draft, go to Murray State? That's another question that I have.
Yeah, maybe he's a late bloomer. People forget how exciting it was when Zerbiak was ripping through the tournament.
Yeah, that was great.
And
then the Timberwolves drafted him.
I think now that he's been in the NBA so long, we forgot how amazing it was to have Steph also at Davidson, take it on his back and rip through the tournament. That was amazing also.
And back then, a tournament run like that had a dramatic impact on your draft prospects. I think now it would have much less so.
No one had heard of Steph. In the 90s it would have. But even then, basketball teams, they were stupid with, their contracts, but they sort of knew the difference between a good college player and a good NBA player.
You think there's no chance Steph Curry would have been a top 10 pick if not for the run he had in the tournament?
Yeah, that's possible. I mean, he had
He only was number
his dad
seven
was
pick.
A famous player, he had a pedigree. I'm not so sure, but yeah, I guess top ten is a lot for a 6'3" guy from Davidson.
Yeah, I mean, people thought All right, okay. So you're picking Marquette, not Murray State, unfortunately. Yeah. Florida State versus Vermont. You already said you're picking Florida State. So who do you have winning that Vermont Marquette game?
Florida State.
Excuse me, the Florida State Marquette game. Oh, okay. So you have both of our dynamic scores out in the first weekend.
Yeah, I mean, that makes sense. Neither of them are on, a one or two seed.
Okay, so no NBA guard will be facing Gonzaga. Does Florida State have any NBA guards?
That is interesting. Florida State is big, I think.
All right.
I do think, if Gonzaga's any good, they should not have a problem until the Elite Eight. And they really looked. I watched that whole game against St. Mary's. And again, St. Mary's is a legitimate tournament team, even though they were they were not even on the bubble till they won the game, but they blew the doors off Gonzaga. They were really good. Florida State's a weird team. They don't have any good players. They don't have anybody who averaged 13. They only have two guys average more than 9. I don't know. What are we up to here?
All right. Okay. So now we're getting to the Arizona St. John's play-in. St. John's is a Catholic school, and 80% of their fan base is Jews.
That's not true.
I feel like every Jew from New York is a huge St. John's fan.
I don't know a lot of St. John's fans.
I do for some reason. Arizona State is the number one party school in the country, isn't it?
Yeah, number one party school. Not a great college.
Would you rather spend 4 years in Queens or 4 years in Tempe?
I mean, Arizona State, whatever. I'm not going to insult that. We insulted Arizona State once, and the listener went there and got mad. St. John's, I think these teams are basically even, but I think both these teams lose to Buffalo. Buffalo's real good.
All right. Yeah. Buffalo, does Buffalo have the most wins in the tournament?
I don't know.
Yeah, I'm looking at a bracket here. Yeah, they got 31 wins. Yeah. And Gonzaga's got 30. So, yeah, Duke and Virginia 29. So, yeah, big winner Buffalo there. All right, so you have Buffalo winning both of those. Texas Tech over Northern Kentucky. Who wins between Buffalo and Texas Tech?
Yeah, that should be a really good game.
I want to pick Buffalo. What do you think?
Yeah, I've been picking Buffalo in pools.
Don't ask me to name a player on Buffalo. Don't ask me to say what state Buffalo's in. Don't ask me to name their coach. I assume Buffalo's in New York, right? It's in Buffalo, New York.
I mean, is that a serious question?
Well, because Oakland is in Detroit.
Oakland's
made this tournament
Oakland,
before.
Michigan. You should know that. You married a...
Well, I know that, but 99% of people who pick Oakland the times that they've made the tournament don't know that. They assume that it's in Oakland, California.
Yeah, so, I really like watching Buffalo. Buffalo has
a fun game. You ask people what state... Like Akiva, what state is Bradley in?
Okay. This is a fun game. Bradley is in either Illinois or Indiana.
Okay. I don't know, and I'm not checking. What state is Wofford in?
Wofford is in South Carolina.
What state is Abilene Christian in?
Abilene is Texas.
Oh, yeah, okay. And what about Gardner-Webb?
I believe Virginia, but I could be wrong. By the way, it'd be funny if I'm saying this so confidently, and I'm wrong about all of them.
I have no idea. What state is Prairie View A&M in?
Prairie View A&M is Texas.
Yeah, I thought that was Texas. I wasn't sure.
Bradley is Illinois, not Indiana.
All right. Good job. Okay, so we have Buffalo against Texas Tech, and Akiva's winner is Buffalo, he said?
Yes.
All right. Now we have Nevada against Florida. Florida's got that 19-15 record, which is a very, very ugly record for a team from a power conference to weasel their way into this tournament. Mm-hmm. I mean, you were making fun of Minnesota.
Well, we're talking about them winning a game. I was right about Wofford being in South Carolina, and Gardner-Webb, I said, was in Virginia. It's in North Carolina.
Okay. All right, whatever. Yeah, close enough. Like all right, so Nevada, Florida, who are you picking?
I'm really lukewarm about both these teams. I would have both of them losing a lot of other sort of similar 7-10 matchups, but I will pick Florida.
All right. I was going to pick Nevada, but I guess I will pick Florida.
Nevada's not a bad team.
Yeah, I mean, when I was a kid, I used to like. I remember being like 8 years old and like studying the records and thinking a lot about it. Mm-hmm. So I remember I'd be like a 29-4 team against a 19-15 team. I'd be like, well, of course, 29-4 team's going to win.
Right.
I probably was picking too many.
Well,
you know,
one of the craziest
teams,
things ever, if I'm speaking from memory, is the first time a 16 beat a 1 in the women's college basketball tournament.
Was like a 12-20
was undefeated, year. Lost to Harvard, who was undefeated. A 16 team was undefeated.
Oh, they were. Oh, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Probably shouldn't have been a 16 seed.
Probably not. Probably misseeded. Also, like it was the last time a top 4 seed lost in the women's tournament in the first round. Because remember, they're at home. Like,
well, women's college basketball is way too top heavy. Just in general, it's a problem.
Did you see that they leaked the bracket accidentally yesterday? Did you see that?
Yeah, ESPN. Yeah, like hours.
And
early,
you cut as a 2 seed for the first time in like 13 years. They lost 2 games to the number 1 and 2 teams in the country, and they're a 2 seed. They were like 32-2. They average, you know, winning by 30-something points. Like, if there's 4 better teams than them, God bless.
Oh, someone's a little bitter. All right, so Michigan is going to beat Montana, of course. Now, is Michigan going to beat Nevada or Florida?
I said Florida. You want to say Nevada? I mean, Jordan Catalan's a really good player. Caleb Martin, they have, like, 2 legitimate...
is that Caleb with a K?
No, it's Caleb with a C. They have
there
like
is a Caleb with a K. I've been doing
players
pool today.
Our pool, you have to pick 2 players per team. That's a good players pool team because they have 2 high scores.
Yeah, it's too late. The players pool is done.
They have a guy named Jazz Johnson, also plays a lot.
There's some great names. There's a Byree Tyree
on
one of these
really
teams. I don't remember which team. Yeah.
But,
by the way, so here's my hot take as a Big Ten watcher. I think, and again, Michigan just blew the doors off of Minnesota, and you know they dragged Michigan State right down, you know, in the Big Ten championship. I think Michigan is like a significant step behind like Michigan State, and I mean Purdue obviously totally depends on if their shots are falling, but you know if Carson Edwards if he's going 0-for-20 on threes, they're gonna lose, and you know they're almost like the Houston Rockets in that respect. Purdue's like really relying on the 3 ball, but to me like the ceiling of Purdue and of Michigan State both is much higher than Michigan's.
Yeah, I don't think that's a crazy take. I mean, Michigan really outplayed them on Sunday. It's hard to know how much every team is trying in that game that truly doesn't matter.
No, that's the dumbest take. Like, the goal of – like, teams have many goals, and winning the Big Ten is a memory that they're going to have longer than they're going to remember if they went to, like, the second round or the third round
of
the tournament.
That's true. I was talking to my friend who went to Virginia University, and it's like, remember last year when we won the ACC? And I guess we weren't allowed the tournament. We don't remember what happened after that.
Yeah. All right. Anyway, so all right. So we have Michigan beating Nevada or Florida.
I think there's an amazing draw for Michigan. Not that Texas Tech's a bad team; they lost 6 times all year. But like,
but hold on, I thought we said Buffalo's beating Texas Tech.
I know, but I'm saying in terms of like what their draw is, like getting a 3 seed Texas Tech's not so scary. I think LSU, Purdue, and I don't know about Houston. Houston's not so scary. Those teams are scarier. But it's just they don't have a lot of floaters in there.
By the way, I picked Houston to go to the Final Four in my bracket entirely because we just did that NBA bracket. So in my head, Houston has Akeem Olajuwon, Clyde Drexler, and Elvin Hayes.
UConn. Like they've looked really good.
But UConn's garbage.
They did lose to Cincinnati.
All right, okay. So who's in the Sweet 16? It's Michigan, and it's Buffalo, and it's Florida State, and it's Gonzaga.
Yeah, that's what I'm
saying.
Like I think Florida State, I would have them coming out of the bottom if they were there. Like Michigan really gets
right now we have 2 twos, 2 ones, 2 fours, and 2 sixes on the left side of the
bracket.
All
right, let's move to the right side. Quickly, Virginia is going to destroy Gardner
Webb. Yeah, we
got to
pick up the pace. So Virginia is going to beat Gardner Webb. Mississippi State.
It's not going to happen.
Yeah, it's like a 24.5-point spread. And I was actually thinking, like, if Virginia has any self-respect, they have to win this game by 4.
Oh, yeah, they have to win the whole tournament. They have to win the tournament, and that's a cool story then.
All right, Mississippi, well, not for the seniors from last year, but Mississippi, Oklahoma, I'm picking Oklahoma. What about you?
It's a literal pick 'em. I don't really like either of these teams, but I'll pick Mississippi.
All right, so you take Ole Miss, fine. It doesn't matter, Virginia beats them, right?
Yeah, Virginia beats them.
All right, Wisconsin-Oregon is, I think, probably the best 12-5 if you're looking for an upset.
Yeah, I mean, if you want to call it an upset, it's not like a major upset. Well,
yeah. Wisconsin, again, was a team, you know, a Big Ten team that did not impress me. I thought, you know, it's interesting, like, how much teams moved in the Big Ten. Like, Ohio State, for example, came in, I think they were, like, a top 15 team early in the season, and they probably didn't even deserve to make this tournament.
Right.
and then Wisconsin, you know, although Wisconsin has this sort of reputation nationally because, you know, they tend to do well in the tournament. Although it's been a while since Wisconsin's made a run in the tournament, hasn't it?
Not, you know, why, like, they didn't do anything last year. Oregon, it would have been fun if Manute Bol's kid was still here, but he's going straight to the
Bowl. Bol was amazing and then got
hurt. Yeah, it was like, that would have been a totally different year because you could have had, like, Bol Zion. Like, Bol was going to be incredible. Like, his first few games, he was already putting up 21-10. He was, you know, blocking every shot. Like, it would have been, he was hitting threes. Like, he's going to be, like, a legitimately interesting. The NBA is ridiculous. It's just going to be, like, you're not going to be able to play in the NBA if you're not, like, 6'7 anymore. Like, every single guy is.
Yeah, and if you can't hit 40% of threes.
I mean, Giannis doesn't shoot threes, so I guess it's not a perfect, you know, rule. But
well, yeah, but he's perfect in every other way. All right, okay, so Wisconsin, Oregon. Are we picking an upset here? Are we picking any double-digit seeds to win or
Wisconsin.
No?
I'm picking Wisconsin to win.
Oh, God. Okay, fine. UC Irvine's going to lose to Kansas
State.
By the way, Kansas and Kansas State both being four seeds is highly annoying. Villanova St. Mary's. Can we pick an upset here?
Yeah, we could pick St. Mary's. I think if Villanova wins the first game, they might win, like, I mean, the road is brutal. You could play. They could play St. Mary's, Purdue, Tennessee, and Virginia just to get to the final.
I mean, how many double-digit seeds in this tournament beat one of the one seeds this year?
Yeah. I'd have to really go through. I mean,
you'd have to go look at the schedules of Duke, Gonzaga, North Carolina, and Virginia, and I'm not going to do that.
Team? No.
Yeah.
Is North Carolina? Well, I don't think there's an ACC team that's double digits, so I think it's a trick question.
Yeah. All right. Okay. So we're picking St. Mary's College, by the way. It's the only college, not university, in this tournament for some reason. Purdue, Old Dominion. So Purdue is a team, again, they've lost to Minnesota twice in the last couple of weeks. They're so reliant on threes that if they have a bad day shooting, anybody can beat them, including Old Dominion. Even New Dominion. But I assume that they'll win this game. And then, you know, do we say that St. Mary's has a chance to upset them? Or are we putting Purdue in the Sweet 16?
I think any of those three teams, like, would, you know, are really viable. I don't think so. Again, St. Mary's was not going to be in the tournament. Yes, they had one of the most impressive wins of the year. But, like, they were literally out of the tournament until that second half when they beat up Gonzaga.
Yeah. I just, you know, again, I'm super biased by the very limited games that I've watched this year. But to me, I just... Purdue is going to lose at some point in this tournament to a worse team because they're going to have a bad shooting day. And the question is, where is that going to happen? Mm-hmm. And it's really a wide open bracket because, you know, I think that I have Tennessee over St. Mary's in the Elite Eight, and then I have Tennessee going to the Final Four from this bracket. Mm-hmm. But you're picking Purdue over St. Mary's?
Yes. I mean, like, Carson Edwards is, like, a legitimately good player. I'm much, in the tournament, I'm really a guard guy over a big man guy. I think everyone is at this point. That's not such a score to take.
Yeah. Yeah. I was looking at some of my players' pool picks, and I was sort of, you know, when you have a big guy who averages 13 points a game and a guard who averages 12 points a game, I think you want to pick the guard in this tournament because their team, they're going to be shooting a lot of threes. You know, they're going to play more minutes. They're not going to have, you know, foul trouble. So, yeah, I definitely lean towards the
cards
in the tournament
as
well.
This is a cool stat from CBS Sportsline. Of the 16 teams in the top line, 11 of the 16 have made a Final Four. Or I guess 5 have not, because let's not count the LSU coach. Do you want to guess which coaches or which teams have coaches that have not made a Final Four who are 1, 2, 3, or 4 seeds?
Well, Virginia Tech, because you talked about
that.
Yeah, so
Buzz Williams, both Virginia schools. Tony Bennett has never made a Final Four, again, because they play 40 to 38 games, Tony Bennett. Buzz Williams for Virginia Tech. Matt Painter at Purdue, all teams we've just discussed. Yeah. Leonard Hamilton, who just turned 70 at Florida State, and Chris Beard at Texas Tech, who has not been there.
Okay. All right. Cincinnati, Iowa. Iowa, probably the least talented Big Ten team in the tournament, so I'll pick Cincinnati.
Yeah. Cincinnati just had a good win. I don't love the American teams, but... yeah, I think Cincinnati's just better here.
All right, and then Tennessee against toothpaste. We take Tennessee. All right, so Tennessee over Cincinnati, right?
Yeah, Tennessee's real good.
So, all right, and then who do we have between Kansas State and Wisconsin?
I like it. If I'm filling out a pool because I'm only 55-45 that Wisconsin's going to be there, and I'm 80-20 that Kansas State's going to be there, I always pick Kansas State in that scenario. Not that I necessarily think they beat Wisconsin.
So we have 1, 2, 3, and 4 in the South. Listen, so really as chalk as you can be.
Because remember he'd always pick the chalk.
Yeah. Yeah, but he did well that
one. But maybe
we'll
go wild in the 16. Maybe we'll just have all the four seeds make the...
Well, we can't go that wild because so far we have 1, 2, 4, 6, 1, 2, 4, 6, 1, 2, 3, 4. All right, let's get to the Midwest. North Carolina over Iona. Everybody's picking Utah State over Washington.
Yeah, by the way, Iona, their coach, Tim Clues, this is how stupid people are. a guy like Shaka Smart, and Shaka Smart's a good coach, but like the guy who has the big tournament wins two or three games and gets a huge job, right? And when no one had heard of him 3 weeks earlier.
Like that Florida Gulf Coast guy who took his hot wife to L.A. and hasn't been heard of since.
Well, Iona always has like a 15 or 16 seed, but Tim Kloos always gets them in the tournament, even when they have bad teams. He's an incredible coach. He's like one of the only things Frances has ever been right about. I remember listening when they hired him, and I think he's friends with his brother. And he's like, you see, he's going to be amazing. I'm like, yeah, he'll be fired in like a year. He's incredible. Like every team in the country should hire him. He's like the best basketball coach. He's never going to win a tournament game because he's always a 25-point underdog. And they once blew like a 30-point lead in the play-in game.
All right. Okay. Enough about Iona. So Utah State, Washington. Are you picking Utah State like
Utah
everyone
State.
Else?
Yeah, Utah State is real good.
Okay. Yeah, again, I just love how we have such opinions. Name me a player on Utah State.
I'll name you five.
Well, you're looking at them.
I'll name you all right. Auburn, Scrubs.
Auburn, New Mexico State. Do you see any 5-12 upset happening here or no?
No, I really don't like New Mexico State. They come the whack now. Speaking of conferences that have fallen on hard times and like sort of high mid-majors, you know who the other teams in the whack are? They're literally like online universities at this point. Like it's not... It is the New Mexico State, they go 500 in pre-conference play or below, and then they go 18-0 in the conference. So I think that's literally what they
did. Oh, they're 30-4, so they couldn't have been below unless they played seven non-conference games.
I was thinking of last year. I think they were like 25-8 in the tournament. It literally like Grand Canyon, which is not a real school, I think. It's like University of Phoenix's like little sister is the two seed.
By the way, you're right. So when I finished my all-college NBA rosters a couple weeks ago, I then went and made all conference teams. But the problem is I was basing it on current conferences, not sort of the historical conferences. And you're right. Some of these conferences, I never heard of these schools. So I was like, how is this school in a conference with a major school? And I've literally never heard of them.
Because they all have tournament bids. So, like, you know, there's, like, gaming the system.
Basically, once the big conferences expanded to 14-16, they just left, like, the complete dregs for every other conference.
Correct. Now let's just, if you want to make a case for New Mexico State, like, doing something in this tournament. They did beat a tournament team. They're in the play-in game, but they beat North Dakota State badly. They lost to St. Mary's.
I mean, North Dakota State's the worst team in this whole conference tournament.
Right. They lost to St. Mary's. They lost to Kansas by 3 on the road.
Wow, that's good.
Yeah. Then they have losses to Drake and California Baptist. And then since then, they started conference play, and they've been beating Seattle, Utah Valley, Chicago State, which is the team Mark Titus tried to become the head coach of, and he should have because they went like 0-100 and lost every game by 40. Utah Valley almost made it. CSU Bakersfield. They're literally in February playing a D2 team. Like they, the Kangaroos of Missouri, Kansas City, are in their division. Like they, you don't understand. Like they haven't played a mid major caliber team.
Okay, so Auburn's gonna run them out of the gym, and then Kansas Northeastern.
Yeah. Kansas. This is not your grandma's Kansas team, but they're gonna be.
Yeah. Well, of course not. It's a 4 seed. All right, and then Kansas against Auburn. I think we take Auburn there.
I do like Auburn. I'm not that down on Kansas. Like Lawson is really good. I don't love the guards.
All right. And what about, by the way, UNC's over Utah State, right?
Yeah, for sure.
Okay, so we got UNC a 1 seed, Auburn a 5 seed, and then who's joining them in the Sweet 16? Iowa State against Ohio State. It's always annoying me, by the way, that Iowa and Iowa State are in, you know, one's in the Big 10, one's in the Big 12.
They should make they should just agree to be in the same. I think it'd be more
like Michigan and Michigan State or
the same conference.
Well, why? Most state, you know, Michigan and Michigan State do that.
But
I mean,
also, like,
state
Ohio
state
State's
that,
in the Big Ten and Ohio's in the MAC, you know?
Well, yeah, but Ohio's not a major, like, Ohio's not a major school. It's weird for there to
and
be two.
Sometimes the states don't matter. Like, Texas is a Big 12 team, but Texas State is, like, plays with, like, Georgia State in like, a really crappy conference.
Yeah, but there's a million other big schools in Texas.
How come some schools that there's...
I mean, I guess Florida and Florida State have always...
I was going to say there's no New York State, but I guess if you flip it, State of New York, there's like 7 of those schools. Right.
Yeah, but they all stink. All right, so Iowa State versus Ohio State. So again, Ohio State hasn't been good since like November. So in terms of talent, they're probably as good as Iowa State, right?
They're really not a caliber team. Like there is the bottom.
Yeah, they're not.
They
had a terrible season.
Did not need to be in this tournament at all. That doesn't mean like one of them won't make the Elite Eight. It just means they didn't deserve it from their body of work. I like Iowa.
Well, and I think it's on. I think they should have put Belmont and Temple in the actual tournament and made these garbage teams like Ohio State and Arizona.
I'm with you.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I have Iowa.
Yeah. Well, I guess. Yeah. All right. So Iowa State. Yeah. Okay. Houston, Georgia State. Again, I know nothing about Houston except that they won 31 games and they have 3 NBA Hall of Famers.
They're all guards. The top five scorers are guards. Yeah.
Well, that's good because again, that team needs guards because that their NBA veteran team is made up of all big guys. So
yes, they will add. I don't know if they're going to make the NBA.
Jared Jerome put Clyde Drexler at the point, but I had Clyde Drexler.
Players, to be honest.
Yeah. All right. Walford against Seton Hall.
A junior. Every single guy on their team has a junior.
By the way, Seton Hall, another client of mine.
By the way,
I guess I'm rooting for Seton Hall to face Syracuse.
I believe it's UC Irvine, who we already discussed. Do you know that Caron Butler has a kid in the tournament already? Doesn't that make you feel old?
Yeah, that's crazy. He retired from the NBA in like 2013
or
something.
Now, he started, he had some legal trouble in his early, so he was like a very old college basketball player, which is why he was so good. But still.
Okay.
That makes me feel old.
Yeah. All right. Wofford, Seton Hall, who are you picking here?
I really like Wofford, but Seton Hall's looked awesome the last few weeks.
Oh, good. I'm rooting for my client, Seton Hall.
They look really
upset.
Good,
and
Wofford is a good team, too.
All right. Can Seton Hall beat Kentucky? Who beats Abilene Christian?
Can. They're not going to. But
Wait. Well, I thought we were going to pick.
No,
okay, so
no,
we literally. So the highest seed that we have in the entire Sweet 16 is a 6 seed. Are you really saying that?
That might happen.
That's what the 32 fans. This 32 fans bracket sucks.
Well, let's see. So does
this
get
podcast.
Wild. How about now we'll get wild?
All right. Wait. So we're picking Kentucky, and then who are we picking between Iowa State and Houston?
Houston.
Okay. So we have a 1-2-4-6, a 1-2-4-6, a 1-2-3-4, and a 1-2-3-5.
Mm-hmm. Listen, the top teams
okay,
here
so,
are all good.
All right. So let's move quickly here because this podcast has been way too long. All right. So Duke against Virginia Tech.
Yeah, Duke. It'll be close, but Duke.
Oh. Okay. And then Maryland against Michigan State.
Michigan State.
All right, and then Duke against Michigan State.
If we really wanted a zag, we could pick Michigan State, but that's not. I'm not doing that.
So let's get wild, he said, and then he picked all favorites again. Okay. All right, Gonzaga against Florida State. I mean, Gonzaga's not making the Final Four, so who are they?
Gonzaga's the best offense in the country. Like Gonzaga's a really good team.
All right, so they're going to be Florida State.
Yeah, they're going to be Florida State. Sorry.
All right, and then Buffalo against Michigan.
Michigan.
All right. You said let's go wild.
Maybe I'm
just single
wild. All
right. Okay. Gonzaga against Michigan.
Let's pick Michigan.
Oh, so Michigan goes to the Final Four after
I
said they had no ceiling.
I think there's a good spot for them. I think they could make it.
Okay. So Duke and Michigan in the Final Four. Maybe I'll go with Dr. Jen back to Minneapolis for that. Mm-hmm. All right. Now let's jump to the South.
You like
we
Michigan,
have.
She's a fan of the lacrosse team.
Yeah, Virginia against Kansas State.
Virginia versus Kansas State. Virginia.
All right, Purdue, Tennessee.
Tennessee.
All right, and then chalk. And then Virginia against Tennessee.
See, this is interesting. I think we should discuss this. Who do you like here?
I have Virginia. I don't have Virginia or Gonzaga or North. In fact, I think the only one seed I have in the Final Four is Duke.
What if we
so.
Have the winner of this game win the whole tournament? That could be wild.
I have Tennessee going to the championship,
Yeah, so let's have Tennessee.
If I'm not mistaken.
So Tennessee's losses, overtime against Kansas, totally respectable.
Okay.
Overtime against LSU, incredibly respectable.
Good, great loss.
4-point loss to Auburn. And then...
Good loss. At home or on the road?
The Auburn loss was on the road. 4 points. And Auburn's a really good team. Who cares? It doesn't matter. You could lose
by
4.
Yeah, that's a good loss.
And then by 20 to Auburn, but it was day 3 of the conference championship. So it was their third game in a row. After having
that's only 4 losses.
Kentucky.
What's the fifth one? What's their fifth
5
loss?
Losses.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So we have Tennessee in the Final Four. So we have Duke, Michigan, and Tennessee. And who will join them? It's North Carolina against Auburn.
North Carolina.
All right. And then
no, we have North Carolina
Houston.
And Kentucky in the Elite Eight.
Okay. Okay, fine. So, and then North Carolina. So North Carolina, Kentucky. That's a good game.
That is an amazing game. I like Kentucky. Yeah. I like Kentucky-Tennessee, an SEC Final Four game.
Okay, so we have 3 2 seeds
in
the Final Four.
Wild.
All right, so that's
we went buck wild.
Well, I don't know if you call that wild, but all right, so it's Duke and the 2 seeds.
Yeah, but
that will be the theme
of
the
Final
Four.
I don't want to pick Duke to win, but they have to beat Michigan. They're just better than Michigan.
Yeah, and then all right, so do we have Tennessee or do we have Kentucky?
Yeah, that's a good question. So they played like 17 times already this year. what are the results? Kentucky won by 17 in Kentucky. Then Tennessee won by 19 at home, and then they played. I tend to throw up the conference tournament games. Second night in a row, you're not going to see that in the tournament. It was a close game. Tennessee won and was gassed and got destroyed, like we just said, the next night to Auburn.
All right, so Tennessee won 2 out of 3.
I think
who's
Tennessee.
Winning
Let's
the
have Tennessee.
Fourth game? All right, so that's what I picked in my bracket. So we have Duke against Tennessee in the championship, and then Duke wins by 30, and it's boring.
No, let's pick Tennessee to beat
it's
Duke.
It's the crowning of Zion. Oh, so this is a pro-Tennessee podcast. We have the Tennessee Volunteers.
Yeah, because I think...
winning the national championship.
This is my whole thesis statement. If you're in a pool with 100 people...
and you're pick, yeah, yeah, got it.
You're
there's
only
no going to
have two or three people pick Tennessee to win.
Yeah. And 40 of them are going to pick Duke, even though, again, they should not, you know, be... Okay, fine. So we're
now,
picking
however,
Tennessee. But we're, this is
argument,
a hypothetical bracket with zero
the
people.
Argument against Tennessee is that they have the most underperforming, you know, NCAA tournament head coach in the history of college basketball. Rick Barnes, one Final Four, a losing record in the NCAA tournament. Listen to his. I mean, like, could make the Sweet 16 with Kevin Durant.
Yeah.
Listen to his run. Round of 32, round of 64, round of 32, round of 64, CBI, round of 32, round of 64, missed the tournament, round of 32. That's his recent work since he made the Elite Eight in 08.
But to be fair, it's not like he was at major schools.
Right, just the biggest school in the country, and now...
yeah, exactly.
And he made the Final Four, so he made the Final Four in 03. Yeah, so this is going to be year 11 without having gone to the Sweet 16 for Rick Barnes.
All right, Keith. Good luck. Enjoy your favorite time of the year.
I'm overwhelmed by that Thursday so much I don't want to think about it. And it's busy season for me, you know.
Yeah. But for you, it's great because Purim is like over.
Yeah, it's a little different.
Just as the action
But
gets
I also
gone.
Can't drink. Yeah.
Why?
Because I got too much to focus on. Like, I'm not going to drink at all.
Oh, you have to be... why? Well, you don't drink at
all
anyway.
I mean, except on Purim, but I'm not going to drink.
Because you need to be focused
I need to, like, yeah, because I'd fall asleep. But alcohol makes me sleepy, and it's the last day of the year I would want to sleep. I would want caffeine.
Yeah. All right, well, so drink some Irish coffee or something. Mix your uppers and your downers.
Yeah. And I don't like alcohol anyway.
Yeah. All right, so we'll be talking again shortly for another podcast, another bracket-related podcast. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, excited about that. Excited for the tournament. How about this? Of the 32 games, what are you most, other than the Minnesota game, which of the 32 are you most excited for in round one?
Well, I mean, it's going to be the Murray State Marquette game.
Murray State Marquette, also Villanova St. Mary's, I think will be a lot of fun. I got that penciled out. Like Mike Francesa says, take out your pencil and circle. He says, at 3 o'clock every NFL Sunday, write down the scores and see how much they change from 3 o'clock to 4 o'clock. That's his big advice. That's why they call it the Witching Hour.
Indeed. All right, Keith, I will talk to you shortly for our TV theme show podcast. Bye-bye.
Bye. It's a turnaround jump shot. It's everybody jump starts. Every generation throws a hero up the pop charts. Medicine is magical and magical is art. The boy in the bubble and the baby with the babbling heart. And I believe these are days. Lasers in the jungle. Lasers in the jungle somewhere. Staccato signals of constant information. A loose affiliation of millionaires and billionaires and baby. These are the days of miracle and wonder. This is a long distance call. The way the camera follows us in slow-mo. The way we look to us all, oh yeah. The way we look to a distant constellation that's dying in a corner of the sky. These are the days.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little.
actually a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on chumbacasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.